I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh, I'm here to fucking amuse you.
This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks, with over 150,000 titles to choose from. That's insane. Choose from all sorts of categories. You can do biography, autobiography, comedy. You can get some comedy albums on there. More on that later. And anything, romance. Our boy Norman has been listening to Outlander. So if you like sexy books, you can grab yourself some ear set. And that sounds bad. Anyway, for you, dear listener, Audible is offering you a free 30-day trial so you can try out their service and a free audiobook download. How about that? Last week, I just finished Billy, a book, I should say biography, about Billy Connolly, written by his wife, Pamela Stevenson. What a cool idea to have somebody who's known you for decades and who's close to you write your biography and saves you the trouble of having to sit down and do it. And she narrated it, and it was a great story. And who doesn't love Billy Connolly? No one, that's who. So I recommend that hands down. So what you do is you go to audibletrial.com/cape and sign up. Get your free audiobook download, get your free 30-day trial, and check out their service. All right. So, once again, welcome to the show. A couple of questions came in regarding scheduling, which is something that I need to get better at plugging and clearing up a couple of things. But with regard to the posting schedule, as you know, which I usually forget to mention the live broadcast, but 9 p.m. Pacific time, skidrowstudios.com. You guys can tune in live, audio and video. If you have any catching up on the show later, if you want to tune in live, you can do that, which is obviously midnight Eastern Standard Time, and Central, you can do the math on your own. And the show goes up. The audio of the show is available on chrisabalo.com on Tuesdays. And on Wednesdays, the show is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the YouTube channel. And all the links are at chrisabalo.com, so you can go over there and check it out. But the broadcast, again, is Monday nights. And then the show is available by Wednesday on all the other outlets. And you can listen to it at your leisure. So just to clear that up, because there seem to be a few questions. Something else that needs to be cleared up based on an experience I had last week, which I reinforces all the reasons I hate people. I don't want to say I hate people. I don't particularly like people. And here's part of the reason why. I'm at the grocery store last week, and I realized that my senses have gone dull from when I worked in retail. I worked in retail for nearly a decade, spent a lot of time at a cash register, a lot of time supervising the front end and the service desk and all that other stuff as a front end manager. And somehow I'm not as keen as I used to be when it comes to dealing with people, or at least picking people out who might be trouble. And I was at the grocery store last week and was behind a woman who I thought, I mean, it was somewhat busy, but everybody had like every line and maybe one person in it. So I thought it was got on a random line. I should have known the woman I was behind was trouble when the first thing she hands the cashier is this. This they wrote on here because this is a certain, it's not the flavor I wanted, but they have this and it's not a full box. So they're, okay. I should have known based on the fact that she was a special needs customer, meaning that she required special attention. She didn't have any mental deficits, but I should have known that was a sign, but I thought, well, whatever. It's not busy. No lines are clear. I'll be out of here shortly. So the cashier's scanning her items after she took care of whatever the hell the first thing was about. and then scans two of the same item that this woman had. Oh, those are supposed to be $9.99. See, they came up $13.99. It's supposed to be $9.99. The cashier trying to take care of it. Who did you speak to? Oh, the man is over there. Him? And the cashier points to a person. No, not him. There was another man, and then there was a woman. Do you know his name? No. Seriously? Everybody wears a name tag at every store now. You didn't notice at all. You obviously spoke to the person. Can you describe them? Now, nobody's going to get offended if, for the sake of moving things along, you say the guy was white, the guy was black, the guy was... I mean, you could go by, like, hair color if you want to be ambiguous. Oh, he had dark hair. Okay. Well, that narrows it down. He could just be Latin, Asian, white. But how can you interact with somebody and have no idea what they look like? So the cashier's trying to figure out who it is. She ends up paging somebody to come to the register from that department. And being keen, she grabs my stuff. And because I had three items and I'm waiting behind this needy customer. And the way the cashiers were set up is they were back to back. So she said, she's almost done on the other side. I'm just going to put your stuff over here. You can check out over here. And I said, okay, thanks. So I went over where the belt had my three items on it. I thought, oh, great. I'm next. No problem. Okay. I don't need to worry the fact that somehow I didn't spot this woman and I didn't see the flag in the air as soon as it was, you know, she was ready to check out. But oh no, I wasn't the next person. Do you know why? The woman who was in front of me on the second line still had her stuff in her cart. The belt was completely empty. And there's no reason for this. Now, I'm sighing a lot because I'm trying to remain calm. Because it'd be really easy for me to get pissed. But I'm sure that'll come as I recount the rest of the story. She has a few things in just the seat part of the cart. And pulls them out as just veggies she was getting. Just vegetables. Five bags of different kinds of vegetables. That's fine. They all have different price points. They need to be weighed separately. Totally understandable. You know what, though? She wanted them all rung up separately as separate transactions. And this is where my patience is getting a little thin. Because I'm thinking, why would she possibly need 5 ears of corn rung up separately from two red peppers? Which are exactly what she had. No exaggeration. So I think, okay, what is going on with this? How did I go from one line behind a person who's a pain in the ass to another person who's a pain in the ass? What are the odds? Thankfully, I didn't have to be anywhere, but I can't help but think, I guess these two women didn't have to be anywhere either because they were not exactly prepared. I mean, this woman didn't even have the crap in her belt. Seriously? So I think, oh, well, maybe she's got to pick him up for work or something, and that's why she needs things rung up separately. No, here's one of many kickers of the whole situation. She pays with the same debit card for each thing. And it's 5 years of corn, $2. That's one transaction. Has to put in her PIN, which obviously she's not particularly adept at. So it's like ding, 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 pecking the keys. Red peppers, 34 cents. I'm not joking. 34 cents for red peppers. Had to be rung up separately. It's food. There's no tax. You know exactly how much everything costs. Why? Do you need to have stuff rung up separately? I just couldn't understand. Five separate transactions. And then it was finally my turn for my three items. And at that point, I was annoyed. But I didn't care if the woman was going to be in earshot. I said to the cashier as soon as I walked up, which is funny because the woman at that point suddenly was in a hurry and took off as soon as she was finished checking out. And I said, hi, these are mine. You can ring them all together, though. That's okay. And she just kind of let out a sigh of kind of exhaustion. And I said, I cashiered for many years. It's totally okay. I don't understand why these people need help and why they need everything rung separately. Like, and by the way, needless to say, the whole time these two registers are backing up because these women, whatever they're doing is so important that it doesn't matter. There's a bunch of people behind me. And everybody gets frustrated when you see lines backing up at the registers. The people who work in the store get annoyed by it. Obviously, customers get annoyed by it, but we're all consumers. Why not show up at the register prepared? Know how you're going to pay. Have your coupons ready. That's something, sorry, ladies, but it's always on you. You have to organize your purse while you're at the register. It's flipping through everything. You haven't even figured out how you're going to pay yet. Oh, it's how much? Let me see. And flipping through a bunch of stuff that otherwise you probably never go through in your wallet. If I use coupons, which I do, I have them ready. I bring them with me to the store. You know why? I'm probably going to buy the things the coupons are for. I don't need to flip through a Rolodex and think, let's see, B for brawny. There it is. Seriously, be prepared when you go to the registers because you're just holding everybody up because of your unique needs. And, you know, like I said, I regard them as special needs customers, not because they have anything wrong with them except narcissism. But seriously, be better about the people who are behind you. It's only funny because of how many complaints I've taken over the years when it comes to how people want employees to bend over backwards to make sure everything's done quickly, which is great because time suddenly becomes precious after people have spent an hour and 48 minutes in a store shopping around looking at crap that they're most likely not going to buy. And as soon as they get to the register, they're in a hurry. It's one of the funniest things, and most people do it. And they expect employees to give them everything, including the moon, and they never come prepared. They're never ready to check out. They don't have their payment ready. They don't have their stuff on the friggin' belt. And I just think, if you're going to go to the store, you're not prepared, you just want to hold everybody up, just run up on the roof and jump off. On second thought, don't do that, because then they're just going to have to take employees outside to clean up the mess and everything else. Stay home and kill yourself. Anyway, on a lighter note, let's move on to, I was doing some apartment cleaning, because at that point I didn't want to go anywhere. So I was home cleaning up, and I came across something I completely forgot about 6 months ago. I had to do kind of a rush CPR training class where I didn't actually retain anything. You just kind of go through a theoretical procedure of how to save someone's life. And I was rewarded with a little earthquake preparedness kit. And I completely forgot I had this thing. And if you can check out the video again on the YouTube channel so you can see what I mean. This is the blue can, pure water, 50-year shelf life. So here is what I want. I plan on being here in 50 years, but if I'm not, or if I am, I'm making the declaration right now on this, the 27th of April in the year 2015. In 2064, I'm going to open this can of water and drink it. Because, I got it for free. It's not as if I'm going to go challenge the fine people at Blue Can or whoever the hell manufactures this just to make sure that the water is actually fresh. Unless, of course, this drought business keeps up, and I might need to drink this thing by this time next year because there might not be any water left. But otherwise, yes, when I'm 83, I'm totally going to drink this water and see how it is. If not, whoever inherits my crap, whoever I leave it to, I expect you to keep this can handy. Because you need to crack it open and drink the water, because I had to spend about 6.5 minutes going through a mock CPR class to earn it. And God damn it, someone's going to drink it. All right. On to some even happier news. Today we are bringing you what is likely the final installment in what turns out to be the What I Didn't Expect When We Were Expecting trilogy. Because my good friend Andrew Rizzitello is going to be technically he's a father now, but, you know, he's not really a father till the baby's born. We know that. So his child's going to be hatched in about 2 weeks. So chances are he's not going to have much. I mean, he might. He could have a whole phone books filled of stuff where that he's learned. But probably not. He's paralyzed with fear, I'm sure, at this point. But anyway, we have the final lesson from him. So we're going to give you a quick listen to that. The show featuring Adam and Sean are here, and they're going to perform. So we're going to take a quick break. Andrew's going to drop some knowledge on you, and we'll be back here in the studio live with the show in just a few minutes. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. This is Andrew. And this is what I didn't expect when we were expecting. One of the things that was brought to my attention while the pregnancy was going on was that my wife obviously was going to gain weight. However, what I didn't expect when we were expecting was the amount of weight that not she, but I would gain. You can't be in a household with a woman who has cravings for things like Wawa iced tea and Entenmann's donuts, and really keep a steady hand away from such sweets. I think I've gained at least 10 pounds in these past 7 months. So, gentlemen, you and your woman are planning on, or are, about to conceive. Try and stay away from the good stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the show.
Son, go outside, you got to do something with your stupid life. She told me I could do anything if I just follow my dreams. A pilot, a painter, a candlestick maker, a stripper, a lawyer, or the undertaker. None of these things ever appeal to me. If I had my choice, it's probably jerking off. Something that I do, jerking off alone in my room. I'm a master of my trade, don't get in my way, 'cause I'll be jerking off every single day. Son, be a man, get yourself together and make a plan. Have a wife, start a family, have some babies for your mom and me. A son or a daughter, a family vacations, a house and a mortgage, and no more PlayStations. None of these things ever appeal to me, 'cause I'm so damn lazy. Jerking off is something that I do. Jerking off alone in my room. I'm a master of my trade, don't get in my way, 'cause I'll be jerking off every single day. Come on! My wife is always yapping about something she read or something that happened to her stupid friends. And I'm not saying I'm not listening, but blah, 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 I'm not listening. And she could say this and she could say that, help with the laundry and take out the trash. None of these things ever appeal to me. My favorite thing will always be jerking off. Is something that I do, jerking off alone in my room. I'm a master of my trade, don't get in my way, 'cause I'll be jerking off every single day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There was a, is the soundboard not working? I try to give you guys what was known as sexy cheer.
Oh, cool. It felt good when there was nothing. It was good.
Yeah.
We ended, it was just like
doesn't always.
Silence. It was really nice.
When you're done performing, nice, it's limbo. Like, and nothing.
Nothing. It was really good.
No. No good. It's not working. Sorry.
It's all good.
Did we just not play a song?
Yeah, I'm going to try to make up for it now. I'm going to sound like a horde of screaming girls.
That's funny.
I really had it queued up ready to go, but for some reason it's now playing. No, it's not playing, though. Huh. Interesting. The volume's all the way up.
Did it work? Did we play for anybody?
No, it's, you know what it is? It plays, but it's not like counting down. Like the clip isn't playing for some reason.
Are we live right now?
We are totally live right now.
This is
live.
Amazing. No one's ever happened.
Of live.
We don't know if we actually performed like, live, but we got told we got performed live.
I'm pretty sure I played a song just now.
But thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
You guys are absolutely very welcome.
This is really cool. You have a nice bass, by the way. When we were listening to your story earlier, I was like, listen to that sexy man's bass. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, drop in there.
That's part of the reason that I do a
just
show.
Go home and listen to yourself.
Yes, well, and jerk off. You know? Yeah. We just discussed this. Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of, I don't have a choice but to do a show. I'm stuck with this radio voice.
Yeah, so. It's just the way it is.
What can I do?
Swisher sweets on the way over or something and bring my register down some.
Is that gay code? Never mind. Swish. Anyway. All right. So I first saw you guys perform at Loft Cabaret.
Yes, thank you.
Back in March. And you guys can follow all the events at the Loft at loftensemble.org.
Yes, you can.
And you can follow the show. First of all, on Twitter, the show_the band. And you look for the show with Adam and Sean on Facebook and YouTube. Give them the thumbs up and check out some more of their songs. And it's a good time. Yeah, songs and stuff. And if you're in the Southern California area, May 3rd, they will be headlining Flappers Comedy Club in Claremont. Mm. And May 20th, they'll be playing at the Elixir Variety Show at the Federal Bar in North Hollywood. That starts at 8 p.m.
It's a really great show. That one's a lot of fun.
That's in my neighborhood. I'm probably going to have to check that out.
It's a really kick-ass experience. It's great. There's cabaret, there's ladies, there's singing, there's music, and then...
Well, you said ladies, and you guys.
And it's packed. The place is always packed.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's like 200 people there.
North Hollywood's like booming these last few years. Like I lived in Burbank in 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
Not as much going on.
No.
Moved back here in 2012, and all of a sudden... It's cool to be in North Hollywood.
Yeah, they put
whereas before, I wouldn't even drive through it.
They put in like that theater, and they put in a bunch of cool bars.
And like we play there now.
And
so
now we play there.
Well, that steps up the class like,
really?
Factor.
Automatically.
You guys are dressed better than I've ever dressed in my entire life, by the way.
Thank you. This is part of the deal. Yeah. We do. We even texted each other last night, and I was like, "Do we just should we just roll in like how we normally dress?" And then we were like, "No, this is what we normally dress like when we perform. Is we wear suits and ridiculous outfits like this all the time."
And we figured it's important for us to be comedians that have a real presence. In an audio show, what we look like. It's very important.
Of course.
Like, our costume, when people are just listening, is really, really important.
I'm in a like a lime green, baby green plaid jacket. And, well, some people can't. You can see us. What's your name, by the way, again?
That is Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, thank you. She's Cheyenne lovely.
She's the unsung hero
She's
of Cape.
So lovely.
She is.
I just like her a lot.
If you get the goddamn soundboard to work. Anyway.
Well, I'm in the green and he's in the blue and that's Sean and I'm Adam. And we are the show. We are the greatest band you've ever heard of. But we're coming to you.
Yeah.
That's
courtesy
our plan.
Of me.
Yeah, no. This is our first time we got to do something like this. So this is cool.
Yeah.
I'm
excited. I was happy to have you guys here because, I like I said, I caught your set. And actually that time you're wearing matching adult onesies.
We were.
Which was... one was Batman, one was Superman.
Yes.
It was basically like an adult-sized sleeper, the kind of thing I'd live in if I could find one.
Exactly. When we do the loft, because we've been playing that loft cabaret show for like almost 2 years now, and it's the greatest venue to just try stuff. And if you're ever wanting something to do and just see cool different live acts, it's great. But we always just try new stuff. We try new costumes there. We try new songs there. And so it's always kind of a place to kind of see if things are working, and then we can take them to other places.
I've been... toying with the idea of going and playing cabaret one of these times.
Really?
As a legitimate musical performance.
What do you
Not
do?
That you guys aren't. Well, my first show business four-way.
Yeah, that sounds like show
that's
business.
A yeah, it is.
That is show business.
Funniest part is I never use the term 4A, so it's even funnier. Yeah, it's funny that didn't work out this time. It's my brain telling me don't say that.
I had to force them in the 4A. Yeah.
That you guys better write that.
4A with the casting couch.
Yeah.
So what is it that you...
Anyway, I started out as a musician. I moved out here to go to a Musicians Institute in Hollywood, actually. So I'm a certified guitar player.
How is that school? Just for someone that went there, because I drive by it all the time.
I think it's great. I'm still in touch with a lot of the teachers. The experience was invaluable just because I wanted to get into... the closest thing to like an immersion program, almost boot camp like. I mean, it's not super strict where it's like they're drilling you constantly.
Right.
But it's a full on 15 credit per quarter program.
Every day?
Pretty much. I mean, most of the time it was Monday to Thursday. Some classes are Fridays, but all your core classes were Monday to Thursday. Mm-hmm. I had a great experience. I mean, if somebody wants to be my best, because I get asked a lot about it, especially since I brought it up on the show. If somebody's interested, I definitely recommend the summer shot where they do, I think it's a week or possibly 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of an insulated course. Isolated, rather.
Yeah.
Wow. The words are not working tonight.
It's okay.
This is why I'm glad I brought a guest. If I was just
you'd just be up here.
It'd be a disaster. You know, it's funny.
Random words.
Random words.
Random words.
I'm the host. I'm the host.
Choose.
So Nectar Birthday back on. It was a great, I had a great time going there. I would definitely recommend if anybody's considering being a lifer, as far as a lifetime musician, definitely go for it. I don't regret having spent a dollar on my education there because the experience was a value and ultimately led me back out here to do this show and voice acting and all the other things I do now. So
you can shred though. You can shred on the guitar.
More or less.
You can be honest.
I can't. I don't do much. Oh, are we? Is that
applauding how great our song was? Is that just catching up?
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are so awesome. Wow.
Is it? What happened? Did we lose it? We're losing the crowd, everybody. Can I say that we spiked in viewers, so go yeah. figure.
Oh, good.
The sounds aren't working, but there actually is a human audience out
really
there.
Listening to us.
Yeah, the digital effects aren't working, but the people are enjoying it. But anyway, so back to you guys.
Thanks. They're always back to us. Well,
that's the idea.
When in doubt.
Apparently, I'm not speaking very well. So where did you guys get started? Separately or together?
Well, we met, we both just happened to move to LA at the same time to go to the same school. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and Adam grew up in San Diego, and then we met at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts to start our acting careers.
Never heard of it. Mm.
The little school teaches people to get on stage.
Up and coming program, I guess.
And then just kind of organically, we started playing music together outside of that. Adam has always been a singer, and I'd always played guitar since I was a teenager. And basically, instead of video games, we would get together and play music and write these ridiculous songs that we'd play at parties for friends.
And we had like a couple. We just had like a couple songs, like 2-3 songs, and with no intention of, just like you said, just instead of sitting around playing video games, we'd get together and we'd jam. And then a couple years ago, we were like, what the hell are we doing? Like, why don't we, we're both actors. We're both doing this all the time. We're performing all the time in some capacity. Why are we not just doing this and trying to do this?
Totally.
Because we're best friends and we would have so much more fun if we kicked ass and ruled the world doing this instead of doing anything else. And we get to do and choose what we want to do. I mean, you have your own show. You just, when you're, you know, when you feel like that feeling of like, I get to choose what I do.
Yeah.
It's really satisfying. So then we just really kind of bucked down. We were like, let's write some more songs. And so in the last 2 years, we're probably at like 35 songs. Probably got like about an hour and 40 minutes worth of comedy music.
But we'll be finding out over the next hour and a half.
Strap in.
Yeah, no, so the idea was just like keep cranking them out, keep doing new ones and finding venues that we could play at. And so this year in particular, especially since like February this year, we made a goal. We were like, let's just play and whore ourselves out to anybody that'll have us.
Any unknown podcasters who are out there.
Anybody that'll have us. I mean, we're just happy and grateful to play places and just get out to, because it's one thing, you know, and again, using the same format that you understand too, when you put it out to your friends, it's one thing. But then when you put it out to random people, that's when you're like, okay, this is working.
Yeah, and that's fuel in the engine.
That's what's fueling it right now, especially if random people are being like, oh, this is funny. You guys are got something. So we're stoked about it.
It's good too, because it's all part of the performing thing anyway.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
Even though you're doing something separate from acting, it's still, and especially now, it's actually something it's been a recurring theme through here as various people who've come through the doors of the studio have spoken about, where we've mentioned how the ease when it comes to technology and the independence you have to create your own stuff, there's really no excuse to not do it.
Totally.
Or to do something on your own. There's no sitting around waiting for callbacks anymore.
Right.
You can occupy or starting maybe like a small theater group or something. Yeah, go do something because there are enough outlets for it.
And that's why, like when you brought up Loft, I mean, I am personally the artistic director there, and we started it 8 years ago. Was the sole reason? Was like, let's just do something and let's be in charge of something and let's pick and choose what we want to do when we want to do it. And we're motivated, and you don't want to wait around for a callback all the time.
Yeah.
You don't want to wait, you know, because again, you're also, what are you waiting around for a callback for? Like a callback for like sometimes like what, like one line?
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I brought in pizza to this like co-star part for a TV show. And you're like, here's Sir Herzer Pizza. And you're like so stoked to have this part. But at the end of the day, like, what the hell is it? Like,
yeah, you don't feel, you can curse, it's internet.
Yeah, what is it? You know, how exciting is that? Like, you know, but then you're stoked because it pays well, or you get on TV and your parents will be proud. But at the end of the day, like, you can create your own stuff with technology.
And you're not at the mercy of somebody else, which is the whole, I think that's what makes people nuts out here, is when they're just completely reliant on callbacks or doing other, where it's like, you need something. And that's one of the reasons, like, I do this show on a weekly basis. I like having that perpetual project where
you always
need
something.
Yes. I need to engage that part of my brain where I constantly need to think creatively, and it's fueled other projects outside of this.
Exactly.
But since I've been doing this, especially live, it's the first time I actually have to do something and put it out there, and then I can't go back and fix anything. If the sound effects don't work, I can't do anything. If I say four-way. If I say four-way by mistake, everybody knows what's on my mind.
Yeah.
It'd be more embarrassing if there were four of us here. But anyway, you guys are absolutely right, though, and that's one of the reasons why I'm always surprised how many people, so you guys probably encounter people like that, who are just actors and don't
that's
do
it.
Anything else.
That's
yeah,
it.
That's
right.
it.
And they're only
nothing
actors.
Wrong with it.
No, no,
but
no.
I'm
no,
just
no,
surprised
no.
people are that complacent.
Yeah, and they're only no other way to. And they're only actors by like their auditions, and they're so as opposed to trying to so do
doing
something
anything else.
Amazing
of that.
How many actors like refuse to do like theater or get up and live and do it in front of people. Like,
yeah,
because even the concept of like, I get it if you don't like want to be in a play all the time or something like that, or you're like not into it, you don't want to do it for like 2 months. But the concept of getting up in front of people and like getting to like be comfortable with that, like just if you do become a famous actor, like you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to get on late radio shows and talk shows and stuff and talk to people and be social and be interesting. And yeah, without having that experience, if the only thing you've ever done is wait around for like a Budweiser callback, like it just becomes difficult.
Yeah. It's all reps.
Yeah.
You need to get
reps,
you need to
man.
Get in front of people. You need to do something. You need to engage yourself. It's easy to sit in your apartment and be like, it's so isolating and alone in LA. Like it's, and it fucks people up.
Totally.
You know,
does,
people
yeah.
get really like, and it's very easy to get isolated here, especially with now everybody's offering a home delivery, every grocery store, not to get back to that, but everyone's offering home delivery for like $5.
Yeah.
So it's a great time to be a hermit, but you'll drive yourself crazy if you do it.
And just wait for the phone to
yeah. ring. Like get out there and there's enough people, frankly. And that was one of the cool things about going to the Loft was seeing how many talented people there are. Not that it's surprising
sure.
the talented people in LA, but it's like, here's a whole pocket of people
you don't
who
even...
I wouldn't have seen otherwise. And I only ended up there by chance because my plans fell apart that night.
right.
And I just happened to talk to our mutual friend, Lauren Sperling.
Like, try it, figure it out and go.
Yeah. I said, let me check it out. And I wasn't going there scouting for people to be on the show or anything, but you know, I chatted with Jordan Casti. He came on the show a couple weeks ago.
Cool.
You guys are here now.
Cool.
So it's,
he's great.
He is, yeah. He came
he's
and he
really
did a couple
talented.
Of songs, and he's got a fascinating story, too,
yeah.
the way he flew
really
around.
Good songwriter.
Yeah. yeah. You guys, if you want to check out Jordan, you can check out Cape 41, I believe, was his episode, Sunset Hustling with Jordan Casti.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a double entendre. I was talking about hustling and wealth.
Oh, really? That's funny, because it just kind of feels something like a song he'd write or something.
He might now. And then there will be some litigation. All right. I did, because I posted, obviously, about the live shows,
yeah, yeah.
as always.
Right.
And a friend of mine who looked up your videos was very impressed and has requested you guys play, I'm not sure what the technical title is, but it's the blowjob song.
Okay.
Because
for sure.
who wouldn't want to hear that?
Sure.
Okay. Let's find him and then put him on an island, blow the island up.
Yeah.
Because...
This is for ladies?
Yeah.
It's a very penile heavy month, actually, between last week and then you guys are on your second song.
Second song. But
it's a very phallic April here on Cape.
This is...
That's okay.
A love song.
Yeah, it's a love song.
Hello, beautiful, it's time to unwind. It's been a day, could use some wine. And I won't bore you with the drama in my life, but I could really use BJ tonight. And when was the last time you sucked my dick? It's been a month or two or three or six. And I'm not complaining, no, I'm just saying I could really use a BJ tonight. And if I had my choice, yes, I'd make it really gross. And those are the kind that I love the most. You talk a little shit and then you maybe show a tit. And you see I'm rude, I see I'm a dude with a dick. And I'm not trying, no, to offend you, but I could really use a BJ from you. And it's not crazy, no, it's a human nature. And girl, if you won't fucking, I'll return the favor. And I'll go downstairs, cunnilingus in the air, and tag your it, please pull down my underwear. And now we're talking about that oral sex.
sucks. But guess who's coming? And guess who's coming? And guess who's coming next?
That would be me. Followed by you. Followed by X-Files.
David Duchovny.
There it is.
There's the
chair. Really, really quiet.
Yeah. There they are.
That's a live studio audience.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. They're kind of there in the background. But anyway, it's great. Is that, it's a computer speed. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean... If any song women should be cheering, it's that one.
That's
more so than jerking off. Yeah. They can't quite relate in the same way.
That's the one we made a music video for, though. And we made it all on our own, and we made it for like $0, and we shot it at the Loft, and we had a set at the time that was like, we were doing this play about, it was one Lauren was in, actually, and it was a set that was like taking place in like a eating disorder clinic. And so it was like this big open room. And so we were like, what if we just turned this into like an old person place? And we hired all these old people and we shot it like we were like working
we were
there.
Entertainment we were for the old people's facility.
So then nice.
We did that. We wore these suits.
I was going to say, those suits are probably, they think, oh, what nice guys.
Yeah, we wore these suits. It was good.
Nice.
That one's always an interesting song to do because it's like right when we get to it, because we never call it that. We never say like it's the blowjob song.
You just say it's a love song. This one goes out to the ladies.
Yeah, and then it gets to that first line, and everyone goes, "Did he just say
this was a nice band?"
Well, that's why it's funny having Cheyenne. I can see her through the glass, laughing at the song. I'm thinking, "Let's see how this goes.
Yeah,
let's see how this goes down." That's right, I said it.
Yeah, it's good. We like puns.
It is totally. I'm a fan too. So where else have you guys been playing recently? You did the Comedy Central stage. You were
We did. That was the third time we've done that stage in the last like year. It's a great venue. It's, you know, you got to pack it. So it's like, it's all free though. So it's a little easier to tell people just be, hey, just come. That's all you have to do.
Show up.
And there's no one else before you or anything like that. It's just you. But the cool thing is they shoot it from a couple different angles. And so it sounds good. You get to kind of see what you look like and if you're an idiot or not. and we learned that the first time we did it, we kind of went back. We sort of like how athletes like watch tape. They go home and they like watch it. And we like went home and watched. We're like, okay,
we're
going to
do this better.
Yeah, we do this better. And so then we like quickly booked another one with them and then just felt like it got a lot better. And then we waited like a year because it's hard when we're playing so many shows. It's hard to just be like, everyone come to this one, everyone come to this one, and everyone come to this one.
Yeah, it's, and especially here where there's a lot going
there's
on.
There's so much happening.
It's tough.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I moved back to New Jersey after I graduated MI. It's just like out here and pay to play was rampant more so than 7 years ago. So it's like, it's tough to get people to come out when there's so much going on
around here. And then and when you're doing the comedy thing, especially because we can play bars and so it's cool when we get to do those, but it's also, we can play comedy venues and stuff. A lot of times you get like 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, so you get to do like two songs. We've done a lot of shows where we do one song. And so like, you know, if a lot of our friends have seen that one song, it's hard to be like, hey, come on out to this one place. Shows at midnight.
Yeah. It's going to be a great 4 minutes.
At midnight. We won't go on until, we went on like 1:30 the night of the show.
1:30 in the morning.
And we had to do two songs. And so like, you know, it's hard to get people to come out and think like that they're, especially when they've seen you do like an hour before.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's going to be a tight 7 minutes.
This is a peak opportunity to see us on stage. And it's funny too about like the visual side of where we get to watch yourself back because you don't realize it. I did that back when I was playing in bands, you know, at MI where they filmed all the performances.
Yeah.
It was great to watch that back. But even here, like when I started doing this show, because I'd never done a proper live show before, a live podcast, it was. The first couple, I wanted to get used to it, so I didn't even post a video. I have the videos of them because I would watch it to do essentially a check so I can be at ease with it.
Yeah,
with
what the live format.
Yeah, and I'm super, I'm very handsy, for lack of a better term, because I'm from, it's just that heritage thing. I'm from New Jersey.
Talk with your
fully
hands.
Italian on my father's side, so it's like, there's a lot of this, and I thought, God damn it, am I fidgety? I look really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a good 6 weeks before I'm like, all right, we can post videos.
Make a conscious effort to change what you're doing at times.
Just, or just own it. So at this point, I'm like, I'm used to seeing it now.
I flail. That's what I do. I just flail about
flailing.
It.
That's the exact word for it. Are you guys into, this might be a silly question. No, if good. It is, forgive me. But are you guys into other comedy musical acts?
For sure.
Is there so many good ones?
I listen to a lot of different comedy music and music in general, and specifically a lot of two-person bands.
Really?
Because I like to see how they get that big sound. For instance, like the White Stripes. There's just the two of them, and they're everyone that got to see them live would always comment of like, I can't believe how much sound was coming from two people.
Yeah.
And going from there into like the Smothers Brothers, I grew up on them. My dad introduced me to the Smothers Brothers, and then going through the comedy route, you've got Tenacious D and Fly to the Concords and Garfunkel and Oates. Those are all duos. And we're the next in line.
It really is. I mean, and we do, you know, because again, we probably, obviously now it's Tenacious D and Fly the Concords are probably the ones we get paired to the most. Mm-hmm. But because a lot of people don't necessarily remember the Smothers Brothers. But right. then once people see them, they're like, holy shit, you guys are like them because we dress like them and stuff like that. But, you know, again, we're trying to do something different because a lot of the music that we do, we incorporate like rap a lot and stuff like that too. And so there's, you know, again, our vibe, what he said, trying to make a sound that sounds full with just a guitar. And,
right.
And every once in a while, he'll throw on the harmonica, and it's pretty sweet. He throws that on every once in a while, and then we get a little bigger. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, when we have the rapping, and then when we sing together on stuff, and so it is about, but those bands, I mean, I remember the first time I saw Flight of the Conchords, I was like, this is unbelievable. This is so funny. And it looks like they're having so much fun. And then that sort of inspired a lot of it, too.
Yeah, and that became their trademark.
That was their thing.
And they've since written songs for a bunch of, like, I think...
Won an Oscar.
Yeah, one of them won an Oscar for the Muppets.
That's right. Yeah, that was... how did I not know that?
And they, like... I mean, they had their own show besides just the specials. They had their own series for, I think, 2 seasons or something like that. Right. So it's great.
Yeah, or even Garfunkel and Oates, who now have a show as well.
Exactly.
They've been actressing for a long time.
Exactly.
And, you know, they did this on the side and became kind of a local. I mean, that was the same story pretty much with Tenacious D.
Yeah.
Before anybody knew who Jack Black was, he and Kyle were just going around playing shows, and they were almost more known for that until Jack started popping up in movies.
Exactly.
But it's another outlet, like we were saying. It's another use of talent. And even with, I mean, same with me. Like, even though music isn't the main anything I'm doing right now, I still play all the time. But it still informs everything else you do.
Totally.
And it's still, like you guys said, getting up in front of crowds, getting up performing, and getting that reaction too. It also just informs your performance in general when it comes to what you're doing when you get into an audition or when you're up at a party or something. Like, all that informs everything you end up doing.
Yeah. The banter, getting the banter on stage between the stuff. Because when you have, like, when we go and we play it like a comedy act and they give you 5 minutes, it's like a stand-up comedian in 5 minutes could have like 25, 30 jokes.
Oh, yeah.
We have one. You know what I mean? We get like our song, and it's like, if this works, then great. But if it doesn't, then that's our joke.
Yeah.
You got to sit in that joke for a little while and just hope that it goes okay.
Thank you. Good night. You guys have 2 minutes left.
Yeah, great. So like learning our banter a little bit and just feeling more comfortable has been great too. You know, just getting that element of things.
And no small task either, headlining at places like Flappers. I mean,
they've been great to us. We got to give a shout out to Flappers. They ever since we went to their open mic, they've just been throwing us on stage.
Nice.
Right, so it's been fantastic.
A bunch of really cool people over there.
Yeah, actually. And they give a lot of people chances. And if you can bring people, they're all about it. You know, if you can get people to come see you there, and that's part of the deal. You know, you want people to see you, so invite people. Invite people, even if you're doing, like I said, even if you are doing something small, if you haven't done it before, like. That's like, remember the first time we did Flappers, we got to do like one song, and I think we had like 50 people there, like for this one song. And even the headliner went on after us and was like, this is unfair because you guys have all the people here. I'm doing 25, 30.
Yeah,
and
now
you guys,
what?
Now you guys should be up here for 25, 30 because you guys have all the people. So
that seems like a really cool community too, whereas it's on the, I mean, granted, I'm not a comedian. I'm just a smart ass who decided to host a show, but it seems like things are a lot more competitive in the Hollywood clubs, let's say, whereas in Flappers, it seems to be more like a community almost.
There is definitely a community
being there.
We've noticed just in our own experience too that I don't know what it is, but a lot of the comedians when we start playing, they'll come up and they'll talk to us and be like super cool and we'll exchange information, but it's almost like they get intimidated and always leave when we get on stage. It's bizarre.
It's amazing.
It's bizarre.
Every time we play like those, any sort of stand-up shows. And I don't know if it's just because they think like we're just like an act and it's like a gimmick or something like that. And it's just not that. Like, I've always just been like, it's funny. Funny's funny. Like, yeah, if you get up and you do something funny, who gives a shit like how you did it? Are we at a funny club? And were we supposed to make people laugh? And
yeah, people laughing.
You told a joke about how much of a loser you are, and everyone laughed. So we're going to tell a joke about us, and we're going to sing a song about
it. Begging for a blowjob.
I mean, like, it's all like relevant, but it's amazing how often we kind of just get sort of like the bad eye from a lot of stand-up comedians that just are not into like what we're doing because of the fact that it is like a song thing or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's kind of funny, though. We did a show relatively recently where we were the headliners, and there was a whole table, the booth of comedians of 7 or 8 of them throughout the whole show, and we watched everybody and they're all supporting, and then we got up on stage and the booth was empty. And we're like, God, that's so bizarre. The crowd had a good time.
Just sitting in the lobby waiting while we're just doing what we're doing. It's interesting. Yeah.
there's a weird
get a little curmudgeonly.
There's a competition element there that I kind of don't understand, because everybody had like, there's comedy is so broad and is so specific as far as what people are interested in, because it doesn't have like, it's probably the most subjective performance. That's why the Oscars are littered with dramas, because everybody's the same points of heartbreak and death and things like that. That's easy. But what's funny to people is so subjective that like everybody has their thing. There are 300,000 podcasts on iTunes. It doesn't stop me from doing one. There's still room for it. That's why I think I'd be a lousy comedian, just because I'm like, I'm not competitive with, I'm not here to prove anything to somebody else.
And even
I get it, though. Really, I get your
I think position. I think coming from the theater, though, background for both of us, because we are huge theater dorks at the end of the day. We really are big advocates of it. And like,
and it's a community, too. Theater's a very much a sense of community.
You support each other. And so, like, whenever we go, we always, like, watch the whole thing, and we sit there, and we sit in front, and we clap, and we're just super pumped to, like, see people be funny and do something entertaining. And then it's just always interesting, because then we get up, and it's like, everyone leaves.
But everybody's on the same side. It's funny how people get very like, oh, I can't believe. You're like, it's not to say everybody can't laugh. People, and when I've been to Flappers, it seems like people who go there, not to perk up Flappers specifically, but I like the place because it genuinely seems like people are there to have a good time.
Totally.
They're not sitting back like, make me laugh.
No. Because it isn't that. People are there to either try their stuff or just have a good time the night.
Definitely.
Get drunk and eat food and whatever and watch someone be funny.
Yeah, it's a good night. I like going there. Since I live in Burbank, I'm right near the one that's in Burbank. So I like it. I really, really like it. So it's cool. Good. I get that vibe from them anyway. I haven't been there a couple times, but it's great to hear that they're cool to you.
Totally.
Because I definitely get that.
Shout out to Richie.
It seems very, very much like a community. It seems like they'd be very welcoming to people and very encouraging of talent. That seems to be the ethic, probably because the place is run by comedians.
That's really helpful.
Yeah, they're probably not like trying to make it super difficult and isolating.
They got a school and everything too.
I've taken a couple of classes actually, just day classes.
Yeah.
And it's been good just because anything to put a couple more arrows in the quiver, it all helps.
Yeah.
All right, we're winding down a little bit. You guys don't want to do one more?
Sure.
Guest choice.
Okay.
Can you do it just to change it up a little bit?
Wait, it's not about penises then?
No, this one's different. It's also a love song.
I'm out.
This is about Jurassic Park.
Finally.
The movie that changed my life. And I think I watched it like 60,000 times when I was a kid. And Sean too.
Oh my God, yeah.
And it's just one of those movies that just sticks in so many people's brains. And so we wrote this song basically about like what would happen if it really did happen and sort of our perspective of it. So it's called Jurassic Park.
What would you do if Jurassic Park were true? If a T-Rex was barreling down on you, what would you do? What would you do? What would you do if Jurassic Park were true? Were true. Started with a man with a big white beard. No, not Santa Claus, this dude was a little weird. Talk about trying to read the signs, my friend. Did he really not think how this was gonna end? Dinosaur, dinosaur, let me repeat that. It's a dinosaur, not a fucking house cat. You can't just lock it up, cause then they get sick. And then, like Laura Dern, you put your hand in some shit. So, what would you do if Jurassic Park were true? If a bronze
Tyrannosaurus tried to step on you. What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? Their feet are freaking huge. Freaking huge. Velociraptors might be the worst way you could die. You'd be screaming, yelling, help, and you'd probably cry. You'd be like, please don't, please don't, please don't, no, no, please don't eat me.
They're velociraptors, they are so not listening.
You know what I could use in this special time of need is Jeff Goldblum being condescending. We run and we run just as fast as we want. We're stuck on an island and we can't get off. So what would you do if Jurassic Park were true? If a Dilophosaurus fucking spit on you, what would you do? What would you do? What would you do? With your face covered in goo. In goo. If this happened to me, well, this is what I do. I'd grab a bunch of guns and I'd barricade a room. I certainly wouldn't be outside in the rain.
Like that guy from Seinfeld.
He was totally insane. Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Did Sam Neill act again or did he disappear? And say what you want, that movie was the shit. The way they killed the lawyer was totally legit. So what would you do if Jurassic Park were true? If a T-Rex was barreling down on you, what would you do? What would you do? What would you do? I'd probably poo. You too. Jurassic Park were true. If a T-Rex was barreling down on you, what would you do? What would you do? What would you do? If Jurassic Park were true, were true.
Okay, there they are.
There they are.
They're back.
They woke up.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here, crazy.
My gosh.
Too many ladies.
They're
waiting
by the bus.
I bored the shit out of them with my monologue. That's why they weren't even here before. I'm like, that was horrible. Hey, don't make fun of us and our purses, asshole. You're hosting a show on the internet. Hey, once again, guys, look up the show with Adam and Sean. I should say, full names, by the way, Adam Chambers and Sean Dury.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Normally, I'd be smart and ask before the show.
And we realized that when... We love the name The Show for the band, but when you Google The Show, we aren't the first thing that comes up yet.
Not yet.
Better be the hip-hop movie.
Yeah.
That was
so
awesome.
So look us up with The Show with Adam and Sean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got a handful of songs up there. You can see us live and stuff like that.
Yeah. Facebook and YouTube. You guys can find all their stuff and, of course, subscribe to them on YouTube. Subscribe to this show on YouTube as well. It doesn't have a custom URL because Google had to make their changes. So you have to get the link at chrisabala.com. And you can follow the guys at The Show_The Band. And one more time, Southern California dates, May 3rd, headlining Flappers Comedy Club, the great Flappers Comedy Club in Claremont. May 20th, Elixir Variety Show at the Federal Bar in the recently fashionable and trendy North Hollywood. That is at 8 p.m. And chances are I'll be there too. If you happen to see me, if you tuned into the video feed, you know what I look like. Or have gone to chrisabala.com like any right-thinking individual. Then say hi. Say hi to me.
Drinks
are
on the Cape podcast.
Don't say that.
So they're here in the green room, but, you know, not quite the same thing. But yeah, thank you guys very much.
No, thanks.
Do you have anything else you want to plug?
We're doing the cabaret next Friday.
Okay.
I believe
it is. At the Loft?
Yeah, yeah. There's another one. They do them all the time, and so we do them all the time, too.
Cool.
It is on Friday the 16th, I believe it is, if I'm crazy about my math and my
numbers. Of May?
Yeah, of May, and there's going to be a whole new batch of new people there. The 15th.
The 15th. Okay.
We'll definitely, we post all of our gigs on our Twitter and our Facebook page as well. So if you want to know about an upcoming gig, you can follow us there, and we'll announce it.
Yeah, keep up with the show, guys. This is important stuff. And make sure you spread the word because this is just a sampling. They have another 32 or so songs.
Yeah. Your mom likes
so
us.
So they claim.
Your mom likes us. That's just what we always tell people. Yeah.
Big fan.
Well.
Not like your mom, but like just
other
like
people's moms.
The insulting version of like your mom. Your mom likes us.
In general, moms like you guys.
Yeah, your mom likes us.
I get it. I think it's the suits, but
it is.
You know,
they always think we're really nice. And
we
open
just
our
came
mouth.
From church.
Yeah.
Well, you guys can certainly have him fooled with the matching outfits.
Exactly.
It's very, it's funny. I didn't think of the Smothers Brothers thing until you said it. And then when you did, I was like, that's exactly it. Yeah. In my head, I'm thinking, what are the coordinated suits? What? Not so much the Batman Superman one.
No.
But these? Yeah.
My mom just made us these really sweet, like, leopard suits. They're pretty amazing. So.
Well, you better wear those at the federal bar because.
We will.
Now you've been obligated.
Yeah.
It's been announced on the show. So if you want to see awesome leopard suits, check out the show at the Federal Bar May 20th. And loftensemble.org to get tickets if you want to go to Loft Cabaret in downtown Los Angeles. I endorse it. I've been there. It was a good time. And I might even be there this time as well. And of course, you can always subscribe to this show on iTunes. Subscribe on YouTube. You can follow the show at KPod on Twitter and Instagram. And give the show the thumbs up on Facebook. Please like the show and hear more about and from our past and upcoming guests. And once again, thank you guys for coming in. It's been great. Just another cheer for you.
They're back again. Thank you.
No one knows I'm missing. And once again, audibletrial.com/cape. Get your free audiobook and show our sponsor some love. So thank you all again for tuning in. Until next time, for Adam and Sean, a.k.a. The Show, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment. See you next week.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.